Listen up, maggots. We got targets inbound, so lock and load your senses and stand by for imminent contact.
If you love beer, you're in the Beer Army. So grab a frosty brew and get ready. It's time to liberate your senses. It's Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
Well, welcome to the program. Of course, it's Mick Dagger here.
And the General.
And this is Beer Army Engaged. Don't forget the back catalog. There's been some great shows under our belt. Hit up beerarmy.org. Peruse. You can link to the podcast in a number of ways, whether it be there at the website, beerarmy.org, through Patreon, on Stitcher, and on iTunes. And I do have to stress, and we haven't told you this in a while, make sure you do rate and review. If you love what you're hearing, rate it. You know, there on iTunes, and it helps put it up and pop it up in people's feeds as recommended and suggested podcasts. And we just love doing what we're doing. We love that you're a part of it, and we've got a lot to get to on the program today.
Yeah, the key word in Beer Army is army, and the key makeup of those four letters is you. And by you rating and getting the word out, that's how Beer Army's grown over all these years, is through social media, i.e. guerrilla marketing, grassroots marketing, you know, promotion and word of mouth advertising. So without you, without the army, there would be no Beer Army. So well, we really appreciate, yeah, you know, you going out there, liking it, not liking it, one way or the other. Let us know, you know, feedback, whether it's constructive or deconstructive. We like it either way. We won't take it personally.
Yeah, we got broad shoulders.
Well, except for Mick. Mick does cry sometimes. That's okay, though. I got big shoulders.
Yeah, it's more therapy. It's more of not tears out of insecurity, but tears out of, well, somebody actually cares. Even though they don't care that much, they still care.
But, you know, and that's the other thing, is you can take it up another level and go from soldier to super soldier by pledging your support on Patreon. That's Patreon, patreon.com/beerarmy. You pledge your support there. There's different levels. We got different swag. And, you know, I don't know about you, Mick, but today kicks off Beer Army Beer Week. And I am so freaking stoked, because tonight we're going to have the tap takeover over at the Christoph's Lounge. And then tomorrow we'll have Steal the Glass over Prohibition. And of course, Friday night, we got Beer Army Pub Maneuvers, where you got multiple venues that are participating in that. And you get your little passport stamped, and then come back on Saturday to the Can Jam, where we got Brian Mayer and Hot Butter Grits. And we got so much stuff going on, and it's all free, man. You know?
Don't forget Jim Kohler.
Oh, Jim Kohler. I'm sorry. Yeah. He does a great job.
Mayer, Jim Kohler, and Hot Butter Grits.
Yeah, thanks so much for that. I apologize, Jim. Wasn't trying to leave you out or anything in the cold. No, he does a great job. And every single one of them has their own little genre, you know, that they kind of hit. I mean, it kind of blends over, but it just, I love it. It's going to be such an awesome time, and it, you know, being a free event, and yeah, you know, Easter's the next day, but that's okay. You know, we're being thankful, man. Thanking God, man, you know.
Well, what's cool is there are three nights of tap takeovers, if I'm not mistaken. Tonight, Christoph's. Tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow will be Prohibition, where they're featuring, and that's the other thing. Yeah, Prohibition. And then
all North Carolina beers.
Yeah, they're all North Carolina beers. And so the Can Jam is nothing but North Carolina canned craft beers.
Nice.
And then Friday with the pub crawl, each location's featuring a specific brewery. And we're going to have brewery reps out there talking about their products and stuff like that. And yeah, and you're going to have your little passport. So you can pick up your little passport. You can go to beerarmybeerweek.org. You can also download your passport, but you got to get it punched, because you got to buy a beer at that location. And then you take that and you bring it to the Can Jam next day, and you enter a raffle for really cool, you know, swag prizes to include tickets to our future events, tin tackers, clothing. So just all kinds of cool stuff. And so come out, support your community, support your Beer Army, and have fun doing it. And it costs you nothing except for, depending on what you eat and what you drink, stuff like that. So
well, that's going to be a fun time. Always a great week.
But, you know, like any other show, we always kick it off with some beer. And I got to give a shout out to, obviously, Beer Army Outpost for supplying us all the great beer that we get to feature on this show, except for the ones that we have to smuggle into the state. and then, of course, I want to give a shout out to Beer Army soldier Matt Smith. Notice I said soldier, not super soldier, because I just realized he's not a super soldier. So I'm going to bust his balls now. but he was in the aisles with me as I was perusing, looking for what beer we wanted to feature this week. And then he's like, oh, you should do this one. So, you know.
Oh, and by the way, before you announce what this is,
yeah,
it's only fitting and perfect you brought this beer today, because you might notice it's chilly in the studio.
It is. What's going on there?
The heat and AC crapped out.
Was Lenny pissing on the compressor again?
No.
Because I see Lenny. Lenny's looking at me right now like, what are you talking about,
dude?
He's
never done that. Just an old unit needs to be replaced.
Ah, gotcha. We'll have to figure that one out. Crack the code.
But this beer is perfect, because now unveil what it is.
Yeah, so from Ballast Point Brewing Company, and I couldn't believe we haven't featured a beer yet. And by the way, this is our 30th episode, the big train thing, big 3-0. But Ballast Point Brewing Company out of San Diego, California, IA, We got Indra Kanindra, which is their curry export stout, clocking in at 7% ABV. You can find more about Ballast Point at ballastpoint.com. And yeah, so this beer is a unique collaboration between them and award-winning home brewer Alex Tweet. And as you can see, you can't. You people will have to go buy it.
I can see.
But it pours a very black, brownish, more black than brown, obviously, but color. It has a nice tan head on it. You can definitely pick up this chocolate right away. There's some roast. And then there's this very earthy smell that gives way to the spices. Again, I said it's a curry export stout, so that should start giving you an idea of when I say spices. The flavor is the same, but it's sweet. It's not this bitter chocolate on the front. That the aroma kind of gets you thinking that maybe it's going to be bitter chocolate. And then by the heat of the spices grounded in those earthy tones. So that's what the flavors are picking up. And then on your palate, you know, there's this dance in the tongue between that sweet and that spiciness. And the body is medium to full with medium carbonation. There is this slick texture that finishes dry, and there is some, I would say there's some serious heat. I don't know about you, Mick. I mean, when I say heat, I'm not saying like, oh my gosh, I need to drink milk or something, because, you know. But I mean, would you say there's some good heat there?
Well, it's that curry cumin type of heat. It's not overly pronounced, yeah. But you notice it. It's really good.
But there's really this explosion of these South Asian flavors, and it's featuring in this beer. They got Madras curry, they got cumin, they got cayenne pepper, they got coconut, and they got kaffir lime leaf. I would say, even though we poured this, you know, a couple of minutes, it's still pretty cold, and I'm willing to bet that if you let this beer warm up, you're really going to get some of that, get the most out of it, you know, as far as the complexity going on in this beer, because you got flavor and you got aromas, and you let this thing probably warm up into the 50s, I think you're really going to be blown away by it. But,
oh, it's really good. It's really good at room temperature, too.
Unfortunately, you and I aren't disciplined enough, even though we're veterans and combat vets at that. We are not disciplined when it comes to waiting to drink beer. You know what I mean? It's like, we got to jump right in. So, But this beer is, like Ballast Point, is no joke. I mean, they've won gold and bronze medals in local California competitions. But you got to get it, and you got to get it fast because it's being released in limited quantities only. I would say, though, if you don't like Indian food, I don't think you're probably going to like this beer then.
No.
But
no, you're right. Interesting you bring that up, because I've had this a few times, and every time I've wanted to go get some Indian food.
Exactly. Yeah. I want to go down to Bay Leaf down in New Bern here, man. It's so bad right now. I think, though, this is a beer you're either going to like it or you're going to hate it. Mm. But even if you don't like it, you have to appreciate how complicated it is and the effort that went into it, because especially as it warms up, there's just all these nuances. It's a very complex beer. I mean, it's really, really complex. And the other thing I like, for a 7% beer, the body's very full and it's got great mouthfeel to it. Even though the heat, you know, kind of cuts in there.
I love that curry cumin right before you get that real quick coconut note.
Yeah.
There's so many layers to this.
Yeah, no, there is. It's a very complex beer, but it seems simple too on some levels. Like, what I mean by simple is that there's chocolate, there's a little bit of roast, but that's pretty much it for the malt. And then you got all these spices. And that's what I mean by simple, like, I guess a simple base or simple backbone, and then all these flavors, all these spices right on that backbone, so to speak. But
oh, yeah, good description.
But to give you a background on Ballast Point, it was founded, like a lot of breweries, homebrewer's dream. In this case, it was Jack White. After developing a taste for beer, you want to guess where he developed a taste for beer?
San Diego.
Well, no, but like, what was he doing in life at that time, early on?
A veteran. He was probably in the military.
No, actually, he was in college. He was in college.
There you go.
You know, like a lot of people, you know, developing a taste for beer in college, whether it's keg stands or beer bongs, I don't know. But yeah, so him and along with college roommate Pete Ahern began homebrewing in their apartment in UCLA.
I don't think he was a guy that was doing keg stands.
No, I don't think so.
About, you know, craft beer.
I guess what I was trying to get to is that I think a lot of people really get exposed to beer in their early college days, you know, i.e. they're doing crazy stuff or whatever, you know. But in 1992, Jack opened the Homebrew Mart, which was a homebrew shop where he planned to hone his brewing skills to take his hobby pro one day. And then around the same time, Pete went off to UC Davis to get his master's brewer certificate, and they soon found a collaborator in Yusef Cherney, who had similar aspirations. Yusef became Homebrew Mart's first employee and was part of the team to open a, air quotes here, backroom brewery behind the shop. And so in 1996, Ballast Point Brewing was officially born. And their key philosophy is doing what they love, and fishing is a big part of that, you know, being on the West Coast and the Pacific and all that. So many of their beers are named for fish or fishing terms. And so a lot of people, like, if you're not if not exposed to Ballast Point, that's one of the things you'll pick up right away, is that it's almost all fishing vernacular. And soon after the brewery opened, founding brewmaster Pete decided to take his love for brewing into the classroom as a science teacher and teach the next, you know, generations of home brewers and probably pro brewers. So in 2004, they outgrew their backroom location and moved to a larger production facility, which is in Scripps Ranch, which is where they're at today. And a decade later, at the beginning of last year, they opened up the first in San Diego County, the micro distillery. So I was like, oh, man. And I've heard about it, but I haven't had any of their offerings as far as from their micro distillery, but I really want to. And then their pedigree, they are the third largest craft brewer in San Diego County, and they're the 29th largest in the country. Chill out, Lenny. We're drinking beer here.
He's jealous.
They currently have 4 brewing locations, and the buzz is, you ready for this one? They're looking for an East Coast location to expand operations. And I heard Richmond, Virginia is a possibility, which is ironic since, you know, Stone Brewing has announced that they're going in there. And they've won a ridiculous amount of medals to include contests around the world. I mean, we're talking about Australia, Asia, everywhere, as well as obviously the World Beer Cup and GABF. So, you know, Ballast Point Brewing Company, you can find more about them at ballastpoint.com. So
I'm thinking about all the beers I've had from them, and I've enjoyed every one.
Yeah, I can honestly say I don't think I've ever had a bad beer from them.
They have their Sculpin, their Grapefruit Sculpin, their IPL, their what a Tongue Buckler, their Red Ale. And they all have those cool names. You're right.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had, and even maybe there's maybe a beer that I like, I don't like it as much as some of the others. Like, it's a good, like this. You're either going to like this beer or hate it, but even if you don't like it, you respect it because it's quality. You can just taste. I mean, it ain't easy being cheesy. No, it ain't easy putting this many, so many different flavors into a beer. You know, it isn't.
Well, the layers in this are absolutely amazing, and it's the Ballast Point's Indra Canindra, and you can't miss it. It's got an evil looking octopus on the label. At least his eyes are. They're evil.
At least they didn't put Octomom on there, so.
Nice way to wrap up this segment. Stick around. We do have an awesome Heroes Never Die story to get to. This one's a powerful one. You've only teased me with it.
Yeah, well, it's kind of me unnamed heroes or a group of individuals, I guess, but the video is what, and the cool thing is we got third party witnessing video of the event happening. So it's not a news piece. You're actually seeing the person and hearing their commentary, and it's just the video. Wait till you see it. It's just nuts.
Well, you'll hear it and we'll see it if you hit up beerarmy.org and get into the show notes there in this episode. So stick around. That's coming your way here on Beer Army Engage.
Go AWOL with Beer Army Radio. We're online and mobile at beerarmy.org.
Hey, Dustin, where do I get a Family Guy t-shirt?
Is that Cleveland or is that Mick?
Oh, it's Mick. I just sound like Cleveland.
Go over to TVMovieDepot.com and get clothing from all your favorite TV shows and movies.
Don't forget, it's the promo code BEERARMY. That'll get you 20% off.
That's TVMovieDepot.com.
On the battlefield of beer, an informed soldier is a good soldier. Learn more about the Beer Army Foundation. Go to BEERARMY.org. Get informed about beer, upcoming events, festivals, and community outreach that the Beer Army provides and supports. The revolution starts with you at BEERARMY.org.
Beer Army Engaged.
You know, Dustin, you haven't remarked at all about my hat.
Well, I'll say this. I do appreciate you not destroying it like the Beer Army girl to make it look cool.
She just loves the vintage look.
The vintage
look. The worn look.
Yeah, but that one looks like it's freshly worn. You know? Does that make sense? You
know, like, brand new, but not.
Exactly. That doesn't work, man.
Distressed. So. That's the word.
Is that what it is?
Yes. Distressed look.
No, I'm digging it, dude. I like it. Hopefully you like it.
I love it. I picked up the, for those of you that want to know, well, what hat are you wearing? I picked up the new Beer Army trucker hat.
Yeah, the patch trucker hat, whatever the hell we're calling
it. It's got
it.
The gray netting and the back and then black with the awesome Beer Army eyes.
Yeah, and then we have the, what was it, gray with red panel front, and then we have red on white. And
it's red on white, and then it's red on gray. You're right.
Yeah, or something like that. Maybe it's black. Maybe it's red on black, I think. That's what it is. Anyways, I picked the same one for myself, too, because I like I don't know. I like all of them, but I like that version best.
Yeah, so. I'm loving it. And look, you can find it on this Beer Army store online at beerarmy.org.
That's right.
Or if you're in North Carolina and you swing by the outpost in New Bern, you can pick them up there as well.
That's right. I mean, no soldier can fight a war unequipped.
Yeah, you got to have the right gear. That's for darn sure.
Got to be in uniform.
Hell yeah. Now, I'll tell you, speaking of being in uniform, that ties directly into our Heroes Never Die segment here.
It does. It does.
And there's an amazing story to tell here. So, you know, when you find yourself in a crazy situation, and this one is an absolutely crazy situation.
Yeah, this is a nuts video. This is crazy video.
You never know what you're going to do, and you never know who's going to step in the gap to help you.
Victory!
That's right, Mick. And this week, down in out of Houston, there was a construction worker, and out by the AIG building next door, they were building a four-story apartment complex, and all of a sudden, this fire just starts up. And I think they must have thought that there was nobody in there, but all of a sudden, on the far corner of the balcony on the fourth story, a construction worker just walks out onto the balcony. And what's crazy is this fire starts raging, and within a matter of seconds, it just starts just engulfing everything. And of course, you got EMS, you got the firefighters. So, you know, this tribute, I guess, would be to, we don't have a name. What we have is the 200 or so, approximately 200 people, EMS personnel that arrived and saved this unnamed man's life. And so really the shout outs to the Houston Fire Department, I guess, if we had to put a name on of the entity that we're celebrating or, you know, giving a tribute to in this Heroes Never Die segment, but the Houston Fire Department. And what's amazing, well, you saw the video. The fire gets so hot, and you'll hear commentary. I'm going to play it for you in a second. This witness, third-party witness, I think sometimes that makes the best video, where it's not news, it's not scripted, and she's just recording it. And they're feeling it in the high-rise next door through the glass. You know, man, they're feeling heat. And this guy starts to crouch, and it's becoming so unbearable. He hangs himself from the next ledge and swings down to the third-story balcony ledge. And he almost falls, as you saw the video. It was like, holy smokes, and the fire truck ladder's trying to get over and pick him up. And
to pass off the power of what is happening, we have audio of the portion of the video of just what Dustin described.
Yeah, check. AIG employee Brooke Sears and what she saw. So give a listen.
This guy is on the freaking ledge. Look at this. Oh, my God.
Where?
Do they see him?
Where's he?
Oh my Jesus. Oh my God.
Is that a construction guy?
Yeah. He was inside there. Do they freaking see him?
They're getting him. Unbelievable.
Oh my God.
Hurry up.
Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God.
This is right when he dangles.
Yeah, and he's lowering himself down. And in the frame, you start to see the fire truck ladder starting to swing over to get him, but it seems like it's in slow motion, you know, and when it's a life or death scenario, either it goes really fast or it goes really slow. And this seems like it's being painfully slow because these flames are kicking. They had high winds, and so that was aiding the fire just spreading through this apartment complex that they were building. But you see the glass melting and falling out of the frames, and it's just nuts.
When you first told me about this, I'm thinking, okay, guys, on a ledge, it's an apartment building. He's out on the
balcony. Yeah.
Balcony.
Yeah.
So there's railings. He doesn't have that far to fall. But no, there's no railings. There's nothing. Yeah. It's just an abutment of a platform.
Right.
And he lowers himself, kind of swings his weight a little bit just so he can land on this totally
exposed next balcony below. Yeah.
Platform below. And four stories up.
And he almost misses it, as you saw. Like, I mean, it's just like, wow. And then what's even mind-blowing is you're thinking, okay, you know, they saved the day. As the video continues to unfold at the last, like, about over 2 minutes, the building just starts collapsing. And luckily, he was in a section that didn't collapse right away, and they were able to swing the ladder bucket out of the way, because if they would have been, they would have got taken out. I mean, they would have got taken out by this flaming wall falling down. It's very dramatic video. It's some of the most dramatic eyewitness of our Heroes Never Die segments that we've ever featured, I think. And
well, it's big props to not only that construction worker for doing what he needed to do to get himself in a position to be rescued,
but the Houston Fire Department.
Because
there's a guy hanging himself at the end of that bucket.
It's one thing to be coming out and trying to get out of a fire. It's another thing to be the one going in to try to get people out.
Exactly. So I believe it was AIG employee Brooke Searsford that was filming that, and that was her audio or her commentary that you're hearing. It got posted on YouTube by a user, Karen Jones, so I'm not sure who we're supposed to give credit here to, and I just want to make sure, you know, we're not, you know, we give credit where credit is due or whatever, but, you know, thank God for this gentleman making it out of there, you know, and thank God nobody was hurt, nobody was injured in this. And, of course, the how the fire got started is under investigation. But, you know, at the end of the day, there were no injuries reported, and all the building site workers have been accounted for. So, you know, that's a good news story.
That's a good day.
But I don't know about you, but it's been a long time. I mean, I know fire can just spread like that, but holy smokes, does this thing just whip through there?
Yeah.
It's just, wow.
Well, it's all new construction. I mean, it's going to... Yeah. It's going to be like setting a bonfire.
But you saw how he cowered, right? Where he's trying to get away from the heat.
Yeah.
And if they're feeling it, and they're the next building over, and they're feeling it through the glass.
I can only imagine. Jeez.
You know, he, and you see, he's on the balcony. That balcony's maybe 4 feet. And the,
oh, at the
and
most.
And the glass is melting out of the windows. I mean, holy smokes, man. You know, it's just, wow. Wow. It's just like, wow, man. So, yeah, I don't know about you, but I've been close to some, you know, burning, you know, remnants on the battlefield or whatever, and the heat that gets exposed, it's just amazing. It's amazing when you see, like, thermite grenades, and we have the thermite stuff in place or whatever, and I've done that before, and how literally steel catches on fire. You know, it's like it gets so hot that the steel is burning, you know, with flames or whatever.
That's white phosphorus.
Yeah.
That burns at such a high temperature.
Yeah, no, it's nuts. And then, of course, what's amazing, too, is that he didn't get knocked out by smoke. Luckily, the smoke wasn't blowing at him, because even if the flames wouldn't have got him, if smoke's blowing at you, it'll take you out. I mean, you can't breathe. You pass out. You're going to die from smoke inhalation then. Yeah, so... Pretty nuts, man. You know, I definitely say check this video out. It's graphic, but luckily it's not gory, and that, you know, and the person's saved, and it's just amazing.
It's totally suspenseful. You're hanging on everything. Yeah. You're wondering, you know, what's this guy going to do?
Yeah.
There's nowhere for him to go.
Yeah, it's...
That's wild. That's absolutely amazing.
Yeah. No, it's nuts, man. But I tell you, I can't wait to do our Yikum Tasu, because I always love it. And I don't know what you got featured or what you got lined up, but I can tell you for mine.
I'm sorry, but I don't know. I don't know if it's a generational thing, if it's this technological age, this younger generation. I don't know. All I know is if you're raising your kids and they are like pop music fans, specifically fans of One Direction, I really feel sorry for you. And because I'm really scared about this generation based off of their reaction to one member of this cheesy boy band quitting the band.
Oh, really? They're just losing their stuff.
Huh? Oh, beyond losing it. It's one thing to cry and shut yourself off in your room.
Yeah.
But we'll dive into this and the extent and the evolution of this insane fandom.
Well, you know, you want to talk about fandom. Since we're talking about performing arts here, I have one of theater where there's a drama lecturer. And she stuns the audience with a performance that features her vagina. And I'm just like, and it so happens she's also a PhD student. And, you know, I'm not one of those artsy-fartsy types per se or whatever. I can appreciate the arts.
Just by saying theater. You're not artsy-fartsy literally means you're not really an artsy guy.
Oh, okay. But I don't get it. I just don't get it sometimes. It's almost like they want sensationalized over the top and just like, and you're just left speechless, and then I guess that's art or something. But
well, I'm curious to find out if this is the female equivalent of puppetry of the penis.
I think it is.
That, and I got another interesting one about, look, spring break's just getting out of control.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if this is spring break or an Ozzy Osbourne wannabe. Stick around. We'll have all this and more coming for Yikum Tasu.
Are you a superhero that's afraid to come out of the closet?
Don't worry, superherodend.com has you covered.
Just put in promo code BEERARMY to get 20% off your order today.
That way you can be a superhero. So get yourself a t-shirt. That's promo code BEERARMY.
So do it now. That's superherodend.com.
Every soldier needs quality gear. Get yours at BEERARMY.org. Hats, t-shirts, and more. Show Murphy he can't keep you down and announce to the world that you're in the Beer Army. Go to BEERARMY.org. Do it. By the way, Murphy's a bitch.
It's Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
Dustin, you ready to get weird?
I'm all about the weirdness.
today's Yikem to Sue is just, there's a lot of weird stuff going on here.
Very weird.
Oh, wow. So without further ado, this crap and we can't make up. Let's Yikem to Sue. Did you ever do anything crazy on spring break?
You know, I've only been to spring break, well, official spring break once, and that was as a young Marine stationed here on the East Coast, and MTV Spring Break that year was in Myrtle Beach, and so I actually got to go down there and partake in it, and I realized I've been missing out. I mean, you should go to college if nothing else. What'd you do for 8 years? I went to spring break.
You know, <it's> like, yeah, yeah. Well, what's the wildest thing that happened on your spring break?
Dude. It was usually involved sexual debauchery and
on the beach, right?
Free love, I guess, you know, like
so it was just transported back to 1967.
It involved alcohol, the opposite sex. It was just nuts.
Right.
Yeah.
That's usually what spring break happens on spring break.
Yeah.
Usually.
I mean, when you're young, you know, I don't know. I hate that to say that because as a parent, it's like, oh, my kid says he's going on spring break. The hell you are?
Yeah. I've been there. I understand. What do you think is going on when you hear this, Dustin?
Oh, no, no. No way.
Go.
No.
What do you think?
Like somebody challenged somebody to eat something they probably shouldn't eat, or
I'm thinking that. Yeah. Well, I'm thinking it's just like some. I'm thinking it's some girl that they're said, hey, take your top up. No way she's gonna do it, or whatever. I don't know. Maybe that's
That too. Yeah, yeah.
No, this is a college student biting the head off of a live hamster because that's what you do on spring break.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah. Let's get drunk and eat animals.
Wow. Well, see, I was right then. Eating something you're not supposed to, whatever I said. Isn't that what I said?
Yeah, that's what you said.
Yeah, see? So I'm close.
Yeah, but seriously, who goes on spring break, puts a hamster in their backpack, and then goes out and tries to impress people by biting the head off the hamster?
Oh, my gosh. The choices we make when we're young.
Hey, that's a cute thong you're wearing, girl. Let me show you what I can do.
Is that what turns chicks on nowadays, is biting the heads off of hamsters and stuff? Have we really?
It's disturbing.
Have we?
Oh my god!
Have we dived down to that level of madness? I guess so.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Well, it gets even crazier. I mean, this younger generation. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's me getting old, but this younger generation, man, they're out of control,
dude. Well, you know what? I can't blame them for being out of control when we have people teaching or lecturing. In ways that I would say is not traditional. And what I mean by that is...
Explain.
Yeah, so we have a drama lecturer, and she stuns the audience with a performance that involves her vagina. Okay? So if this PhD student and I guess instructor, I guess you would call her, actress and PhD student Lauren Bari Holstein, if this is what she's exposing our youth to... I guess I can kind of understand biting the head off of hamsters and just totally unadulterated
really?
Debauchery on spring break. Yes, because, Mick, and there is video here.
No, is she a student or a teacher?
That's what I'm still trying to figure out. I mean, she's a PhD student, but then she's a lecturer. So usually lecturer means instructor.
Well, she's going for a doctorate, so
You know,
you don't have to be a doctorate to be a professor.
Right, no, exactly.
You just have to have your master's.
Right, exactly.
So she does.
Yeah, exactly, is what I'm assuming.
She's
and so,
a master of her own vagina.
She's a master, right? And I'm not going to play the video, but we'll definitely link to it for all you crazy fans out there that want to watch this thing, because it is something that is just out of control.
Better
but,
put a disclaimer on that link.
Yeah, no, she unexpectedly upped the shock factor when, as part of her introductory presentation, she displayed a video clip from her recent production called Splat. And she has a production company called the Famous, and the graphic clip is described by Lauren as feminist performance art concerned with the female body, but it unabashedly exposes a lot more than her feminist values. And what I mean by that is it's an intimate performance showing her and hold on, inserting a knife handle into her vagina and throwing red tomatoes at the blade, giving birth to a small plastic Bambi figurine, and blowing a condom out of her vagina, all to the background of Happy by Leona Lewis and Poison by Nicole, and I can't pronounce the last name. I know you can.
Schlesinger
or something
like that?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, this work of art is relevant to her teaching module. So yeah, she's an instructor, you know, theater and its others. And terrified freshers, I guess they're talking about freshmen, by screening it is the first lecture back after Christmas. So you coming back after Christmas breaks, like, surprise, you know, I am so-and-so and I will teach you, give you your next period of instruction on, you know, and
I'm sorry, but that's what gets kids riled up to go on spring break, bite heads off of hamsters, and sleep with anything they can come across. They took her class.
Well, you know, the thing
Shoot, anything I do in spring break's nothing compared to Miss Crazy, whatever her name is.
Well, apparently, this is aimed at highlighting how theater can incorporate intertextual references in dance. But I think the viewers are less concerned with her witty fairy tale allegories and more stuck on the fact they had intentionally got up close and personal with her condom boasting vagina and paint spattered breasts. So
what was that phrase again? Intertextual what?
Intertextual references and dance.
So she's using theater to highlight intertextual references in dance.
Yeah, but the video basically shows scenes of her.
And it all revolves around her fully exposed vagina with various objects being inserted.
Yeah, well, and to include urinating on stage and dangling from a harness, naked, gyrating from the ceiling and stimulate masturbating with a tampon. You know, I mean, I don't know. I guess that's that frees women. Because usually feminists, it's like, to me, feminism is about women's rights and, you know, free to, you know, have equality and stuff like that. But to me, I just feel like you are...
I don't think this has anything to do with feminism.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know, man. All I know is that one scared drama student said that it was surreal. I honestly don't know how to react.
Surreal is a great description.
Yeah, you gotta
check. But if a dude went out on stage did violent things with his penis, he would be considered a misogynist or sexist.
Although
a woman does this with her vagina, and all of a sudden it's liberation and feminism and intertextual references.
I don't know, dude. I don't know, bro. Good Lord. If you're brave enough to watch the video, I think you're just going to be like...
Yeah, prepare yourself.
Yeah.
Could you imagine being a parent of one of these kids?
And you're paying for
coming
to
home for a visit, and he's got his like course syllabuses in his backpack. In addition to the hamster, he's going to bite the head off for spring break.
I want to be a thespian, you know?
And then, what do you have going on, Billy?
Oh, I'm taking Mrs. Crazy's intertextual references class.
Yeah, it's nuts.
And then you come across these notes. It's like, what?
I don't know, bro. I'm just like, I don't know.
Maybe it's all of her way of relating to her class. I have no idea.
All I know is it fits cleanly in the Yikum to Sue segment category. You can't make
this
shit up.
That is totally clearly in the Yikum to Sue category.
Oh, my
God. Good
gosh.
God. Wow. Just a little crazy there.
Nuts. It's nuts, man. What do you got?
Well, speaking of keeping the crazy going, because I guess that's the overall theme of Yikum to Sue today. One Direction fans, they're all torn up right now.
Oh, yeah? Why
is
that?
As you can see, I'm getting a little torn up right now.
Wait, is that a boy band or something like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I am in no way upset
like
with the
Boys?
Fact that one of its members, Spice Boys, one of its members left. Zayn Malik left One Direction. And the evolution of this fan insanity after the official announcement of his leaving has gone from girls posting videos of themselves crying, which is really more narcissism than it is emotional expression.
Yeah.
Because when I'm upset, the last thing I want to do is post a looping 7-second video to Vine of me crying.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just a way to grab attention.
Yeah.
So it's gone from that to girls in class and the teacher not being able to teach because girls are so emotional in class and crying.
They can't even focus, huh?
You know, yeah, and to all of a sudden this, as reported by Entertainment Tonight late last week, pay attention to this, man.
Okay.
This gets crazier.
Gotcha.
Nothing compares to the loss that is being felt by the fans of One Direction. This is serious, everybody, because the reaction to Zayn quitting the band has really taken an alarming turn.
Serious.
Self-harm hashtags are trending worldwide. This is...
Did you hear that?
It's
self-harm hashtags have been trending worldwide.
Oh my God.
As Zayn was just spotted out this morning. Zayn's Direction today was into a London recording studio, walking away from the richest boy band in the world. Devastated fans took devotion to a disturbing level on Twitter with self-harm hashtags like Cut for Zayn and Cut for 1D. One tweet reads, "The more people cutting for Zayn, the faster he will return to One Direction."
Oh my God.
Is this copycat? Is this a cry for help? Is it just attention-seeking behavior? Because underneath a lot of these behaviors that you're seeing are going to be kids who may have been having issues in their everyday life. Maybe they were bullied. Maybe they don't have good self-image. Whatever it is, that they attach themselves so deeply and heavily to this icon that now when it's gone, those underlying issues are starting to emerge.
Bam.
I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get it, dude.
I'm sorry, but if you are so emotionally invested into a musical artist,
yeah,
that your world falls apart,
yeah,
if one little thing changes with that band, I'm sorry. You have more severe underlying issues than even I think this guy's referencing. You can't blame bullying for a fan reacting to a band breaking up this way. There are other emotional issues going on.
Well, I think, again, it goes back to taking personal responsibility for your life and your actions, man, you know, and saying, oh, something else is making you. If you're cutting, somebody's tweeting out, cut for Zayn, like, well, and then they're saying to get him to go back to the band. Oh, my, you know, like, so what planet are you
on? That's essentially violent shame. So they're doing violence to themselves to shame somebody else to behave in a way that's beneficial for them, not for the person they want.
If I was famous and had fans like that, I wouldn't want them for fans, man.
I mean, if I were him and I was hearing this, I was like, yeah, about time I freaking left. You're all crazy.
Yeah, exactly. So
I don't get it. I don't get it at all. I mean, there's so much I could rail on with this.
Yeah.
I could, and maybe we should at a later date, but...
No, I think...
Good Lord, get out of your rooms. Get out off of the computer. Your world is not what you take in from a screen. Your world is what you experience out and about. And once you realize that, the impact of what you're taking in, you don't put so much value in it, you appreciate it, but that's not your whole world. And when that falls apart, your world falls apart.
Well, I mean, the word fan is short for fanatic. You know, and it's like, holy crap, that's, you want to talk about being a fanatic.
That's beyond fanatic,
that's,
I guess.
Nuts. I mean, that's freaking nuts, man. That's loopy, you know? It's
like, yeah.
I don't know. So
can't make this shit up.
No, you cannot, man. You can't. Mm. But I'm sure we'll be making some more up. Well, actually, not making some more up next week.
We're not making it up.
No, exactly. It's nuts.
But we'll be talking about it over a great beer.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Indra Canindra from Ballast Point. Thank God that helped us get through the insanity. So
yeah, it had enough spice to keep us above the fray. Yeah. Yeah, we'll have another beer we'll be featuring next week. More insanity with Yikum Tisu, an awesome Heroes Never Die segment, and just more to share. So make sure you stick around and peruse the website. We may be closing out this broadcast today in this episode, but seriously, enjoy the back catalog.
And definitely come out and check us out. You know, partake in Beer Army Beer Week. If you see Mick or myself running around, you know, say hi, you know, let us know what you think of the show. Even if we suck, that's fine. We want to hear that too. Just maybe we drink more. I can guarantee we won't be hashtagging cutting ourselves. So, but no, definitely come out for Can Jam. Come out for Beer Army Pub Maneuvers. We hope we see you out and about. I know that Mick and I will be out in full force, and we look forward to hanging with you guys.
Hell yeah. And in the meantime, we will catch you next week if we don't see you out and about.
Rounds out.
Beer Army Radio.